Well, the theme of our services over the next couple of weeks, and starting last week actually, is prayer. I don't know if anybody can remember that far back to last week, but we spoke about prayer and standing in the gap. And I introduced a theme verse for the next few weeks, and the theme verse is 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17, which says, pray without ceasing. Okay, everybody at home, on three, could you say together with your wife or whoever you're with, or if you're by yourself, pray without ceasing on three. You ready? One, two, three. Amen. And that's three words. It's an easy verse to memorize, isn't it? But let's get that down into our spirit and let's be people who pray, because now more than ever, we need to pray and seek the face of God. But what we're going to do right now is we're going to begin with today's theme message or key message scripture. It's from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. It says this, please worry about everything. Come on, it doesn't say that, does it? Come on, let's look at this verse on the screens. You might need to get closer because it might be in small print for you on your screen. But it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Pray about everything. Amen. I've called this message today, Anything and Everything. Anything and Everything. So we're going to get back to that scripture in just a moment. But I just want to digress for a moment and just give a little bit of an explanation, because I want you to be able to receive from the Lord today. Whenever I preach, or anybody preaches here at Real Life Church, in all churches I suppose, whenever I preach, I'm trying to bring to you what the Holy Spirit wants me to emphasize from God's Word to us at this moment. Now, I know you've all heard me preach a lot, but we take this very seriously. I take this so seriously and pray over every message. And so we need to listen to what God's got to say to us. And that's what I'm going to do today. My task as a preacher is to flesh out and explain what God has to say today. And that's what I'm going to attempt to do today to the best of my ability. And when you're listening to the Word of God, and you know, and this applies to me when I'm listening to somebody else preach, when you're the listener, your job is to open your heart. Open your heart. Oh, this is just not going to happen today. This will not work for you today, this message. You've got to open your heart. You've got to do that for it to work for you. And open your mind to the Holy Spirit as He takes His Word and ignites faith in your heart. That's what this is all about. And so I encourage you to look beyond the preacher, which happens to be me today. Just look beyond me. And I'm not trying to be super spiritual, but this message is not about me. Look to the Word of God. Look to the message instead. And so if I stumble over something I'm saying, or if I don't say it quite right, or if my manner irritates you, please forgive me. I mean that. Please forgive me. But don't let the way I present a message, even your familiarity with me, don't let that cause you to have a closed heart to God. Don't do that. Otherwise, you'll rob yourself of blessing from the Lord. And while this message may be motivating, and while it may be informative to some people who are listening, the real aim of these next 20 minutes is for your heart to collide with God's heart and for further transformation to take place in you so that you can be more like Jesus. That's what this is all about. And we can only have that encounter with the Holy Spirit when we look to the Bible, when we look to the Holy Scriptures. And this is what the Bible says about itself. It says all Scripture is inspired by God. Another version says all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives or what needs to be put right. And the only book in the whole world that is inspired by God, listen everybody, is the Bible. Is the Bible. It's the only book. You can read any other book you want, and it may be wonderful, but the only book from Almighty God is the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. And that's why, you know, many people find the Bible to be packed with statements and teachings that they find extraordinary. Some people find them outrageous and shocking, and some find them perhaps even offensive, because the Bible's not like other books. Some people even find the opening statement in the Bible to be utterly outrageous, where it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Some people are actually offended by that statement. It should be no surprise to you that Jesus was also the master of outrageous statements. For example, this is incredibly outrageous. Love your enemies. Seriously? Do good to them. No, I want to smack them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back from them. That's an outrageous statement. Another time, Jesus was teaching a huge crowd of people, and they became offended with what they considered to be outrageous statements that Jesus was making. And so the bulk of these people just walked away from Jesus, and only a few people remained behind with him, including his 12 disciples. So then Jesus asked the remaining few people if they also wanted to go. But Peter just blurted out, "Where else can we go?" How true is that? Where else can we go, Jesus? You, Jesus, have the words of eternal life. In other words, your words are powerful. So like Jesus, the Bible, the Holy Word of God, it's not a nice religious book. If you're looking for a nice read, don't read the Bible. It's not a nice religious book filled with nice little suggestions for doing life. There's nothing nice about it at all. No, the Bible is an utterly outrageous, outrageous book because it challenges the core values that drive your life. And that can be confronting at times. The Bible exposes our sin and reveals our desperate need to be made right with Almighty God. It is the one and only book that has the words of eternal life. That's why you've got to read the Bible. Open your Bible and read it. It will change your life. Getting back to our passage. In this wonderful passage from Philippians chapter 4, there are several classic outrageous statements for us today that have glorious possibilities for us. So here's the first outrageous and extraordinary statement from today's main text. Are you ready, everybody? You've got it on your screens. Don't worry about anything. You know, it would be less outrageous if it said, don't worry about some things. Don't worry about the small things. But what makes this statement so incredibly outrageous and extraordinary is it says, don't worry about anything. And the fact that this statement is in the Bible, please listen to this. The fact that this statement is in the Bible and is written to us, it is a clear and emphatic message to us that it is not God's will for you or for me to worry. That's why it's there. That's what it's saying. You know, most of you might know this, but worry comes from the old English word that means to strangle. And that's what worry does to you. It strangles all of the joy, all of the fun, and all of the life out of you. That's what worry does. And you know, it really doesn't matter if you come from a family of worriers. Maybe your family's known for worry. It doesn't matter if you are an expert worrier. The truth is, God does not want you gripped by worry. God takes no delight in your rising blood pressure and headaches. I'll say it again. God takes no delight in your rising blood pressure and headaches. God's will is for you to live with peace in Jesus' name. I'm going to say that again. God's will is for you to live in peace in Jesus' name. Nonetheless, from a natural perspective, I can understand why this statement, don't worry about anything, I can understand why that statement is outrageous and really unrealistic to many people, perhaps to you. Some people believe that when you tell people not to worry about anything, then you're actually being silly. Or some people even say that's actually very cruel because it's not possible to be free from worry. Some would say, how can you stop worrying? How can you stop fretting when you're being smashed by the circumstances of life? How can you sleep at night when your head is just filled with thoughts about the problems that you face? Is the Bible trying to tell me that I'm overreacting to my problems when I worry? If that's what the Bible's saying, then that's cruel. Perhaps some would compare this declaration to not worry about anything to an unsympathetic friend you decide to speak to about your struggles in life. So, you know, you approach this unsympathetic friend and you pour out your heart about the junk that you're facing because you're looking for a little bit of wisdom, a little bit of advice, and maybe a little bit of encouragement too from your friend. But instead of wisdom and advice, the best thing your friend can say is, "Don't worry, she'll be right, mate. Don't worry, she'll be right, mate." Well, trouble is, you're scared and you're worried because you're not sure that things will be right, mate. And so there's no empathy, there's no encouragement, there's no hope in your friend's words. And in the same way, these four words, "don't worry about anything," can, at first glance, seem to be trivializing the burdens that are weighing you down. But ladies and gentlemen, real life church, when the Bible says, "don't worry about anything," it's not the same as a friend saying, "don't worry, she'll be right, mate." It's not the same. One thing God never, ever does is He never trivializes pain, anxiety, worry, and suffering. God never makes light of the burdens and the pain that you carry. You know, all you got to do is look at Jesus in the Bible and see how He interacted with people who were suffering. And you will see in Jesus a God who cares deeply about the afflictions and burdens we bear. He sees every tear that you shed. In fact, the Bible describes how Jesus was constantly moved with compassion towards people and their situations. The Bible even says that Jesus wept with people. And ultimately, He laid His life down for people. The Bible says that Jesus did not come into the world to judge people for their troubles and condemn them. The Bible says that Jesus came into the world to save people. He wants to save you. He wants to set you free in Jesus' name. So you can be sure that God takes all of your struggles, all of your anxiety, very, very seriously. So when you come back to our extraordinary statement, "don't worry about anything," you've got to look at it through the filter of God's love and compassion for you. Therefore, we must ask the question, is it really possible to be free from worry, anxiety, and fretting, especially when worry is so deeply embedded in your reactions and responses? And the answer today is an outrageous but emphatic yes, 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 amen. This is God's word to us to break the chains of worry and anxiety. Amen. And already, I just sense the Holy Spirit is moving in people's lives in the lounge rooms right now because we're opening our hearts to what God wants to do to us today. Amen. And in us today. But if you try to stop worrying with willpower and man's advice, it's not going to work. We know that. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. So what do? Well, our second outrageous statement from our passage says this. It says, instead, pray about everything. Instead, pray about everything. It doesn't say pray about some things. It doesn't say just pray a rote prayer, a prayer that you say every day. It says pray about everything. Pray about everything. God invites you to talk to Him like a friend, and you can talk to Him about everything. And I think that's rather outrageous if you ask me. Everything means that there is nothing in your life that God does not want you to talk to Him about. He wants to hear everything. In the Greek, the word everything means everything. I'm moving right along, amen. A little personal joke there. It means everything. And your praying takes you into the presence of God where you can talk to God about how you feel, and that's okay. Read the Psalms. David told God how he felt all the time, and it was a big deal, and it was important. And you know, brothers and sisters, you don't have to feel the presence of God to be in the presence of God. Rather, we pray by faith to our wonderful Heavenly Father who is always with us. Now, lots of you know that I like to walk the streets of Gosnells because this is where I live, and I walk with my dogs and I pray. And I think my dogs might be praying. Who knows? That's between them and the Lord. Amen. But let me tell you this. I walk the streets of Gosnells praying, and I'll let you know that God is with me when I'm out on the streets, when I'm walking Lisbon Street, when I'm walking up Dorothy Street. God's with me wherever I am, and he's out on the streets. And I found that I can talk to him about everything. So you could pray anywhere, and you could talk to him about everything. You could talk to God about the thoughts you have in your head. Even those crazy thoughts. You could talk to him about what bothers you. He really is interested. You could talk about your desires, your ambitions. You could talk to him about your temptations. All of your temptations. He sees it all anyway, so you might as well talk to him about it. You could talk about your battles. You could talk about your family, your kids, your parents. You could talk about your future. You could talk to God about your regrets. You could talk to God about your health. You could talk about your needs. Nothing is off the table of prayer. Nothing's off the table of prayer. So pray about everything. Don't hold back. You let it all hang out with God. Let him into every room in your heart and pray about everything. When was the last time you had a long, good chat with Jesus about everything? When was the last time you did that? Maybe it's about time you did it once again. And then when you do that, the Holy Spirit will move into your everything because you've invited him in. So let's put our two statements together now. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Everything covers over anything. Amen. Everything covers over anything. So how do you overcome worry? Well, let's reword our outrageous statements on your screen right now to make the answer more obvious. We could say this: shape all your worries into prayers. Shape all of your worries into prayers. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Shape all of your worries into prayers. Praying about everything covers over worrying about anything. Amen. Amen. What worries plague you today? What worries are plaguing your life today? What's stressing you out? What's causing you anxiety? What's causing you to not sleep at night? Take those worries, the big and the small, and shape them into prayers. Our passage from Philippians adds to our outrageous statements by saying, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And that's very, very good advice. But our passage finally finishes with this super outrageous promise. Then you, having done that, having prayed about everything, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That's a beautiful promise, isn't it, brothers and sisters? When you shape your worries into prayers, God responds with outrageous peace that is not from this world. It comes from another place. It comes from God himself. And it exceeds our understanding. You know, that peace is just a little drop of heaven into a person's soul. That's what God promises you today. And I say, give me that God kind of peace over worry any day. Amen. And I just want to finish with this little anecdote, this little story, because as I thought about this message this week, I had a flashback, 42-year flashback, to when I was 16, to an incident that illustrates the peace that God gives while we're surrounded by a stressful world full of struggles. Well, I was 16 years old, and that's actually a school photograph, everybody, and I'm in there, and you can look for that. Also, Lucy Galachi's in that photograph, and Gary Butcher's in that photograph too. But that's my year 12 group, and the Belmont High School, and there you are. There it is, 42 years ago. And I was 16, and I helped organize a school dance for the lower school students. I joined up with the student council, and I just liked to help out, and that's what I did. And we organized this dance for the, like I said, the lower school students. And Belmont High School during the 1970s, which was years before the mobile phone. And I was just wondering if there's anybody at home who can remember life without the mobile phone. Could you put your hand up? Anybody? Yeah, who remembers that? Yeah. Well, we didn't have computers. We didn't have mobile phones. And so I was at this dance and the evening was going well until I had an altercation with another student. After exchanging pleasantries, I had an altercation, but after exchanging pleasantries, this guy left the dance, and I thought that was the end of the situation. But a little later during the evening, I looked out of the window at the back of the hall, school hall, and he'd actually come back, and he'd come back with a large group of other guys. And they indicated that they were going to give me a beating and bash me up. And this was no idle threat. Because back in the 1970s at Belmont High School, fights were very, very commonplace, and I'd actually even seen teachers having fights in the school with students as well. It was a pretty rough school. So the fact that they wanted to beat me up was a problem to me because I have a severe allergy to being beaten up. So I was scared and I was afraid, and I could no longer enjoy the dance or the evening. And the whole evening just turned into a nightmare as soon as I saw those group of guys out there threatening me. And so I was panicking, trying to think of all ways to escape. I couldn't. None of the teachers were interested when I told them what was going to happen. Nobody wanted to know. This was the 1970s. And so as I got close to the end of the evening, as I'm sweating with panic, I decided I'd pray. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. So I prayed to God for help. How could I possibly defend myself against so many guys? Actually, I wouldn't be able to defend myself against one guy, let alone a crowd. Then the evening finally drew to a close. I helped stack the chairs, and those guys were still waiting for me. And there was just no way I could get out of this situation. They were standing at the door. Other students had gone. There's hardly anybody left. But I had prayed for help. Then just as it was time to leave, I was just walking, you know, across the auditorium, and somebody was behind me, and suddenly somebody called out my name. And he said, David. And I spun around. And it was my dad. My dad had come. And he said it started to rain, and so he thought he would come, pick me up, and get me and my bike and throw it in the boot of the car. And ladies and gentlemen, that might sound insignificant to you, but that was a huge miracle because my dad never, ever picked me up for anything before that time and after that time. And he came just at the last minute. I believe God sent the rain. Amen. Now we started to walk out, but I was unsure about whether these guys outside would jump us both because we were both severely outnumbered. Now you've got to remember this is a younger version of my father because you all seem as old man these days. This is 42 years ago. But when we stepped outside, my dad saw these young guys. I actually hadn't had time to tell him what was even happening. But as we stepped outside, my dad saw the guys. And he just walked straight at them, deliberately and intentionally, to the crowd of boys. And you could see them hesitate, and then they just parted. It was like the Red Sea. All I had to do was walk in my dad's slipstream and stay really close to him. And that's what I did. Those boys were still threatening, but I walked out under the cover of my father's protection and peace. Then we got in the car, all was well, and I was one very relieved 16-year-old boy. And that's a picture of how it is with God. That's a picture of how we should do life. You stay close to our Heavenly Father, and you walk in His slipstream of peace and protection. Shape your worries into prayers. Don't worry about anything, pray about everything. And in the face of those threatening problems of life, you will walk under your Heavenly Father's protection and peace. I'm going to say it again. Don't worry about anything, pray about everything. Shape all of your worries into prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. It's time to pray. It's time to seek the Lord. And I just want to pray right now. I just got a couple more comments to make. I want us to pray right now. And one of the things that's really bothering me, brothers and sisters, is people who don't sleep well at night. And I just want to pray for people who, you're lying in bed and your head is just so busy, you're stressing out, and then when you get up in the morning, you feel like you haven't even had a sleep because you're worried. And there's other people who have nightmares. And I believe God wants to set people free today from nightmares in Jesus' name. It's not God's will for you to worry while you're in bed at night. It's not God's will for you to suffer from nightmares. So we're just going to pray, and we're going to pray in the Holy Spirit. And maybe if that's you today, you're just weighed down with burdens, why don't you at home just lift your hands to the Lord? Remember we said right at the beginning, we're going to collide with the Holy Spirit today. Come on, why don't you at home just reach out to the Lord? This is your day of breakthrough in Jesus' name. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you invite us into your presence to pray about everything. Everything's on the table with you. How blessed we are. And we pray for one another. And Father, I just pray for people at home right now who are reaching out to you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll just drench them with your presence. Lord, we come against worry. We come against anxiety. We come against fretting. We pray right now for people at home who just simply not sleeping well at night. The head's going crazy. It's just overworking, worried about everything. We speak shalom into people's minds today. Shalom into people's souls. Shalom into people's spirits. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I speak a good night's sleep over you, my brother and sister, in Jesus' name. Pray too, Lord, for those who have nightmares and strange thoughts of the night that just visit them repeatedly. Well, Lord, this is not of you. This is not right. And so we come against nightmares in the name of Jesus Christ. We cast down the enemy. We say, be gone in Jesus' name. And Lord, we speak peace again, shalom, into people's minds. Lord, I speak shalom into people's sleep tonight, in Jesus' name. And I declare a peaceful dreams, good dreams over all of people who belong to Real Life Church in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, and they shouted, hallelujah. You're going to have a great week. And as you know, problems are going to come. Of course they are. I never said problems wouldn't be coming. Problems are going to come. But remember, when they come, shape your worries into prayers. God bless you, Real Life Church.